guests appearing on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM appear via the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved two blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. He covers the Miami Heat and the NBA, but really Ira is just a man about South Florida. He can talk about anything. Ira joins us now on the hotline. Ira, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing, you know what, Alex, I'm a little bit sad.
Why's that?
Because, as you know, someone who reads Ask Ira on a regular basis, mm-hmm. one of the most fun parts of the process is for people asking me if the Heat are going to sign Michael Beasley. And the New York Knicks made it official that they've signed Michael Beasley to a one-year, a $1.9 million veteran minimum contract. It just went up on their website. And, like, for me, that's like half the fun of Ask Ira's loss now for the rest of the summer. And I'm telling you, half of them are facetious, and I have fun with my readers at sunsentinel.com. But there remains, I don't know, it's sort of like the guy who waves the towel at the end of the bench, sort of a love for Michael Beasley that I think people are serious that they would like to see the guy come back. And it's interesting, because he signs with the Knicks at a time where you don't know what's going to happen with Carmelo Anthony. By no means am I saying he's a replacement for Carmelo, but I could see it sort of being as, just in case Carmelo leaves, he could be a fallback position. So Michael Beasley is off your Heat radar, so people stop asking the question.
And I can totally relate to the people's love for Beasley. I can't explain it, but I can relate to it because, what, he's had, what, three separate stints with the Heat? You feel like Michael Beasley is this Heat lifer, and even though as a second overall pick did not work out, but when he came back the second time, then the third time, it just became more endearing every time he joined that Heat roster. And I'll add one to it, Ira. Not only am I sad that Beasley is now off the table for the Miami Heat, but as a Heat lover and a Knicks hater, it pisses me off a little bit to see him go to the enemy.
Yeah, it'll be very odd to go to Madison Square Garden this season and see Michael Beasley in those colors. I mean, it was one thing when he went to the Timberwolves or the Suns or the Rockets or the Bucks. They were never really the enemy. But this one will be a little strange. And I got to tell you, if you would have told me any time before now that Michael Beasley was going to go to New York, I would have been really worried. Because there were times in his career there could not have been a worse place. And here's what I found almost shocking as I researched this story, and I'm actually writing it right now for the Sun Sentinel, is this. Matter of fact, don't go anywhere. I don't want you looking online. Please don't cheat. How old is Michael Beasley?
26.
28 years old. Oh. Only 28. I'm just saying.
See the way you teed that up, I knew the answer is going to be very young, so I went a little too young.
But it's like him and Derrick Rose, not even to be 30, and they have been around forever. You know, the 1 and 2 pick in the 2008 draft and just all over the places in their careers. I mean, it's just crazy where Michael has been. He was a very good contributor last season to the Milwaukee Bucks, and Jason Kidd said he was nothing but a good follower, a good soldier for that team, so I wish him well. But, wow, it's just like, you know, it tells you you're also at a certain point of free agency when people go to me, hey, Ira, the Heat still have a $4.3 million exception. Who are they signing? And now I can tell people, you're at the Michael Beasley part of free agency. That's where you are right now. They might not spend that money.
Yeah, and Ira, staying on the Knicks for a second, because I love basking in their misery. We do have a lot of Knicks fans who listen to this radio station because they live among us here in South Florida. Is getting rid of Phil Jackson, is that an automatic addition by subtraction? Where are the Knicks going now from there?
You know what? I don't think it is for this reason. I think it's still with Scott Perry in their front office and the way they really didn't get a new voice in the front office. I still think they're a bit in the wilderness. And then a coach in Jeff Hornacek, who was hired by Phil Jackson, who's not there right now. The Knicks made a bunch more front office hires right now. To me, they're still a rudderless franchise. And I'm not sure that a James Dolan-led franchise can be anything but. I mean, we've gone through Isaiah Thomas and Scott Layden and Phil Jackson and all their Donnie Walsh and all their other combinations. And I think it really is a classic case of it starts at the top for almost all franchises. I mean, down here, we're lucky, at least in the extent of Mickey Arison and Stephen Ross certainly has done a fine job with the Dolphins. It starts at the top. And I think if you're going to have the kind of instability you're going to have where you had a James Dolan this week in a court case against Charles Oakley banning him from Madison Square Garden for a year, if that's where your focus is going to be, no. I don't predict playoffs for the Knicks this season, and I don't see, even with Kristaps Porzingis, a real sort of regeneration of the Knicks. I just think they're just a franchise that's lost in the wilderness and probably will be until James Dolan does with the Knicks what he's done with my beloved Rangers and say, okay, hands off. I don't know anything about this. I'll let you guys run it. I'll sit in my courtside seat and I'll enjoy it. Until he turns that direction, I think they'll still be in trouble.
Yeah, Ira, is there, because, you know, we've had like, we've had people in this town like Wayne Huizenga who's owned multiple teams, but I can't really remember. I guess maybe with the first Marlins fire sale, maybe put him in this category, but it's not that often you see a team owner who owns multiple clubs who is really highly regarded for what he does with one team, like Dolan with the Rangers, but then just universally bashed and panned for what he does with his Knicks.
You know, I think that's what Wayne Huizenga did, though. That's a good example. I think with the Panthers, he realized he wasn't a hockey guy. They had Bill Torrey and other people involved there. And with the Marlins, the same thing with Dave Dombrowski and the people he had involved there. It was hands-off football. He believed he knew. He's a guy from Fort Lauderdale. He grew up here. He was more hands-on with that. So I could see that kind of situation and the different perspective. And I would say that's sort of akin to what's going on right now to the Knicks. And I just think even Mickey Arison knows a ton of basketball, but even he steps aside. His son is involved now, Pat Riley, Andy Ellisberg. He lets the people who are fully in charge make those decisions, obviously after being consulted. But the Knicks, you still see that. You still see at the end of the day, it's the same. The line all points to the same place, and you have the same problems. Sort of like down here with the baseball team also, that no matter who you might have liked or thought, whether Michael Hill or someone along the way, with the Marlins, it still points to the top, and you still wind up in the same place. That's where the Knicks are.
Yeah, Ira, do you see Nick Arison, Mickey's son? You know, I know he's worked very hard rising up through the ranks from a team manager at Duke to a big position with the Miami Heat. Is he going to be somebody who would be the future Pat Riley, or would he stick more on the business side?
I think he's more on the financials. I think he'll be the guy heavily involved in picking the next Pat Riley or deciding the front office. Absolutely. I mean, that's absolutely an Arison family decision, whatever that comes. Of course, all applicants must come from Duke, so that'll narrow the field and put Shane Battier in a good position. But absolutely, hands-on, but also smart decisions and making good, smart basketball consultations. And I even like what Pat Riley told us in his office last month when he sat with us, and he said he feels in good shape, that there's someone like Andy Ellisberg willing to argue with him. There's someone like Shane Battier starting up right now. There's Chet Cameron with the draft, and Adam Simon, absolutely a rising star, the Heat assistant general manager. He was invited part of the Africa game that was played in Johannesburg on Saturday there with Eric Spoelstra. The Heat have a lot of really good basketball people. And in so many sports, when I talk about front offices and organizations, it's not just one name. It's not just Pat Riley here. It's so many other names. And I think in baseball and other places, you see the same thing. You know the director of player personnel as well as the general manager. You know the entire front office. You recognize that it's not just one person, sort of like you're seeing now in the Dolphins as well.
Yeah. Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joins us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. And to segue from Heat to Dolphins, Ira, of course, over the years, we've seen the Miami Heat sign a lot of older players, redemption, reclamation projects, and it really worked out well. Do you think the Dolphins can do that same thing with Jay Cutler? Of course, they did something similar with Chad Pennington many years ago. You think it'll work out that way for Jay?
Yeah, I think the one-year bridge makes a lot of sense in this case. I've heard people with a Kaepernick or they should have got someone else and they should have gone. This Dolphins team is ready right now. Are they ready to win the division? No. They're in a bad place because they have the Patriots and just deal with it. But you want to sustain something. You don't want to just get to the playoffs one year like in the Chad Pennington year and then disappear. You want to sustain. You want to put Devontae Parker in big moments in playoff-type situations to grow with him. You want to put Jay Ajayi in those type of situations where you're not as overwhelmed as you were in the playoffs against the Steelers last year. You have to work on the rest of your players. Do I see Jay Cutler as a long-term guy? No. But you know what? If he has a good season this season, I think he gets another chance next year when the Dolphins can sort of rid themselves of that Tannehill money, move forward, probably draft a quarterback, be more proactive next season than they've been in previous drafts, thinking they were set up for the future. I mean, I'm really right now, I would almost ask you, if I were to sort of give 50-50 kind of situation, 50-50, do you think that Ryan Tannehill, this is really what I think, do you think Ryan Tannehill plays another game for the, starts another game for the Miami Dolphins?
I lean to no. I really do.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy, and I'm not saying like Gase loves Tannehill, but it's going to be so hard, Ira, after nearly a year and a half without playing football and all that money he's going to be on the hook for, $17.5 million due to him next season, and it would only cost you $4.7 million in dead money to cut him. I really am leaning towards Ryan Tannehill having played his final game as a Dolphin.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. And again, you know, the whole thing with the surgery, should he have, shouldn't he have? If he did, would he have been ready for the start of the season anyway? The craziness of the situation is this. Shouldn't he have had the surgery? And again, it's so easy for me to tell someone else when they should get sliced apart, okay? So I'm sort of, you know, I'm putting that qualifier there.
Yeah.
But it would seem to me like he should have had the surgery yesterday.
Yep.
Or the day before, or they should be announcing it at the preseason opener on Thursday, broadcast live here in WQAM. You know, I just think that he should be moving forward, because I think without the surgery, it just either pushes the recovery date back for when he has the surgery, or it's the same type of situation. Look, this is a brutal, unfair, unforgiving sport. And yet we all have seen the video. It was a non-contact play which it happened on, which you can almost be happy, because think about this. If you remember the play when he got injured again now with the knee, mm-hmm. He is running toward his right, and he's going out of bounds, but he's still not out of bounds. Remember? And then he slides there on the sideline.
Yeah.
What if that was during Thursday's game?
Oh,
and
man.
What if some young whippersnapper who decides, I've got to get a job, gets Tannehill out of the pocket. Tannehill puts up lame. There are no red practice jerseys in preseason games. And they knock the living snot out of him and make just this minor tear or partial ACL tear into something else. I mean, he really was fortunate when you think about it that it happened in that kind of situation where the defense knows not to hit the quarterback no matter what, because if it happened on Thursday night, it would have been in a completely different situation, which is why I think you gotta say the right things. You gotta stand by the guy. But I listened to you in your first segment, and you were talking about how Tannehill said all the right things. It really is a case that reminds me of Justice Winslow over the second half of last season.
I can see that.
We love you as a person. You're a nice kid, but unfortunately in sports, out of sight, out of mind. We are going to go ahead and go 30-11 over the second half of the season. We're going to be the best team we can without you. We are not going to talk about you. We are not going to expose you to the media at practice sessions. We have to move on. It's the cold, cold reality of sports. The difference is, at least in the NBA, all your money is guaranteed.
I promise the next time we have you on, we'll talk some more John Bones Jones.
Yeah, you know, it's almost funny. This is like our Matt Damon on the couch for Jimmy Kimmel, and that
yes.
He can't get him on tonight, but next time we'll definitely take care of it. But I got to tell you, as we get closer to this McGregor fiasco, I have noticed a lot of the talk almost going down, as if real bona fide people like you in sports talk realize this is not something, with the NFL preseason starting and even the baseball races and real places heating up, that you want to waste your time. I would have thought 2-3 weeks out from this thing, it would have been everywhere. I think sports person who really sort of realizes what's going on, you know, has sort of realized that, hey, this is a carnival act like WrestleMania that I'll take and enjoy, but I'm really surprised that it hasn't reached another level right now.
Well, and they peaked too early, too, because they had that dopey world tour in mid-July, and then everyone was burned out by the end of that thing, and then you still got over a month to keep promoting the fight. They didn't time it out correctly.
You know, and they had that big fight, I think, less than a month right after, and that's going to be a really good fight, so you have that going on also. So I almost hope this thing, I don't want to say dies a slow death, but that people realize, okay, this is Ali against Inoki, let's enjoy it for the novelty and silliness, but it's not what it was when it first broke and I was on the air with you, as if, oh, we're going to have this epic sports event. And you know what? I give discerning sports fan all the credit in the world for that. And Bones Jones talk, nothing but that next Tuesday.
Ira Wunderman, you can check him out on Twitter at Ira Heat Beat. Make sure you read Ask Ira in the South Florida Sun Sentinel, sunsentinel.com. Ira, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
And remember, Matt Damon coming up next. Thank you, Alex.
Love it.